Good morning, good morning. How's everyone doing today? I got a couple announcements for everyone before we introduce this morning's teaching fellow. We have, and you'll hear more and more about this over the next couple of weeks, but I just want to keep talking about it. I believe if you're on our email distribution list, you guys should have received more detailed info on the Ironman picnic coming up on October 7th. That's a family picnic in collaboration with a handful of other men's ministries in the area. This particular event is not just limited to men, but it is a family picnic, which I always look forward to every year, getting the opportunity to meet your families. We don't get those opportunities enough. Obviously, this is a men's group, so we show up without our wives, without our children, without our grandchildren. But this particular event, the spirit of it is family. So I encourage you guys, come out. It's going to be at Foundation Academy out by their baseball fields on October 7th. If you're not on our email distribution list, you can go on our website and sign up for that, and we'll be able to send you more information on that particular event and on all Ironman events going forward. Next week is our fourth Friday. So every month of the year, for those of you that are not familiar, the months that have 5 weeks, we take the fourth week as a table hangout week. So what that means is don't come here next week because nobody's going to be here. So, but what that means for this week is at your table time after the message this morning, table captains, please make sure to make a plan for next week. We encourage you guys to meet next week. Just don't come here. We have many tables that will meet at parks. They'll go to coffee shops. They'll go grab breakfast. They'll go and have a serving opportunity that's available to them that week. So there's many different ideas for you guys that you can do next week, but just don't come here because we won't be here. All right, that's all I got. I'm going to pass it over to Doc. Really appreciate Doc and the virtual table for leading us out this month. Why don't you introduce us to this morning's teaching fellow?
Good morning, gentlemen. Don't expect to see me back, okay? I've gotten up too early. A few weeks here now. We'll go back to going back into the world where I don't have to get totally dressed either. You guys on virtual, I see you. I've looked over there. I know who you there. Who's there. But today we got a really special guy. You know, I know all the guys who've spoken already. You know, Craig and Bob have really brought a good message to us. But today we have another individual who, I'll start off by saying, he's one of the most humble guys I met with the record that he has. And it's not a prison record. You know, he's really a humble guy. I've seen him, I saw him a lot on the video during the virtual. And then one day I walked into a place, my daughter was being recognized for something. And here's Scott sitting in the background, just very quietly sitting there. And I looked at him, and you know, if you've done enough Zooms, you recognize people from here up. And I looked at him and I said, "Are you Scott?" And he was, but he was so humble, he was just there. So today our speaker is retired Major General Scott Grayson, who is also former ambassador to Kenya and has a phenomenal story to tell you of his work, the things he's done. He's married, he's got grandchildren, he's obviously got children, he's got grandchildren. I got a thing to write down here, but I'm trying not to read it. But one of the things that does stand out is that Scott flew combat missions over Iraq, and he's recognized as the individual who flew the most combat missions over Iraq. So without further ado, my friend, my colleague, my brother in Christ, Scott Grayson.
Thank you, David, for that kind introduction. You know, I've been attending Ironman for the last 5 years, and it's nice to be here in person. I'm now spending most of my time with David on the virtual side. You know, we've been studying Nehemiah for the last 2 weeks, and we've seen that Nehemiah was a layman, that he worked in the palace of the king for a while. And then Ezra and Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem where they built the walls of the city. We saw that Nehemiah did what God told him to do. He also used his administrative skills to help his community. He helped encourage his people. And he was there doing what God wanted him to do for eternal purposes. And that's sort of what I want to pass on today, that God gives us a vocation and he expects us to use it for eternal purposes. You know, on Monday, we stopped to remember 9/11 and those four devastating attacks that changed America and the way we conduct our routines. I was in the Pentagon that morning. My office was about 200 yards from where that third aircraft crashed into our building, killing 189 people. I rushed outside into the hallway when I heard this, and smoke had filled the corridors, and the smell of burning jet fuel was so great that I couldn't run toward the crash site to help, and I had to get out of the building. And it brought back memories of another situation that happened to me that was pretty similar. I was the operations group commander in Dahran, Saudi Arabia. I had to get up early in the next morning, so I was making my way to bed at about 10 o'clock, and my routine was interrupted by a bright orange-yellow flash and a thunderous boom. Instinctively, I fell to the floor, and glass was everywhere. The terrorists had hit Khobar Towers with another devastating bomb. And people worked frantically that night, medical personnel and others giving first aid, but 19 men were killed. 18 of them worked directly for me. It was a poignant reminder that life is short, that life is indeed a precious gift, and that freedom is not free. But the time that really got me to change the way I looked at my life and the significance of my life was in 1979. It was a beautiful day, a Friday. We were taking off, flying from Phoenix to San Antonio in single-seat fighters. I was the instructor pilot for the flight because the flight lead was getting ready for his instrument check ride. His head would be buried in the cockpit as he was working on instrument procedures and his cross-check. My job was to make sure we didn't bump into anything any harder than a cloud. As we were cruising at altitude, it was beautiful. The sun was setting in behind us in the west, and out ahead of us, there was an orange tinge on all these puffy clouds, and it was just unbelievable, and I was just so happy to be flying, and it was just wonderful. As we got closer to San Antonio, those puffy, cotton candy-like clouds were more ominous and dark, and I pulled into 3 feet formation to start the penetration. That's our normal wingtip clearance, 3 feet, but as we got down below the sun's rays, it got very dark. And then we had to go into a thunderstorm, and it got very wet. Rain was coming down my canopy, streaking horizontally as we came down, and I was squinting as hard as I could to stay in formation. As we got deeper into the cloud, it became even more dark, and I was triangulating off of a little red light on the tail, one on the wing, and one on the engine nacelle, trying my best to stay in position, and I moved in even closer. Any closer, and I would have hit him, and any farther away, I would have lost sight. As we were going down, flight lead said he's becoming disoriented because the rotating beacon was flashing on the clouds, and he said I should have to turn it off. And so I said, Roger, and that made my life even more difficult because that rotating beacon was lighting up that little gray ghost that was out there. I knew that we'd be turning to the left at 4,000 feet on the altimeter, and I prepared myself for this turn, and poof, I was looking out in the darkness, and there was nothing there, just streaks on my window. So I rolled out and pulled and moved away from his last known position, and I looked inside my cockpit, and I couldn't believe what I saw. My brain was confused because when I looked inside, we were in 120 degrees of bank. I say we, but it was just me. 60 degrees nose low. The altimeter was winding down. The airspeed was increasing. Instinctively, I rolled wings level and snapped the throttles to idle and pulled as hard as I could without getting into a stall to try to stop my descent toward the ground. I broke out of the clouds, and I could see the lights of San Antonio coming up to meet me. I knew I was going to die. A miracle happened that night. My single-seat F5 pulled out between a farmhouse and a row of trees about 200 feet above the ground, going more than 500 miles an hour. It turns out that instead of making a left turn, the flight lead turned right, and when I rolled out and pulled, I plunged to my death that night. Every time I closed my eyes, I could just see in slow motion the ground coming up, the airspeed increasing, and the altimeter rapidly unwinding. And I knew a miracle had happened. I knew that I'd been given another opportunity to make a difference. And I stopped to think, what if I died that night? What difference would my life have made? I was doing so well as a fighter pilot. I was instructor pilot of the year of Tactical Air Training Command. I was selected as one of the 10 outstanding young men of America. My walls were filled with plaques and I had trophies all over. But if I died that night, so what? What did any of this mean? It actually meant nothing. And that night I pledged to think more, not about myself and what I was doing, but about the world around me, my community, my family. I also decided that I would do things that had an eternal priority because only that was lasting. And I realized that if I had died, I would have had this tombstone that said, Scott Gratian, 1951-1979, and that little dash up until that point was hollow, self-centered, all about me. no significance. About that time, I started hearing about Idi Amin, Uganda. 600,000 people killed in that skirmish, that civil war. Aspirin costing $5 a piece. Water was very scarce and electricity was intermittent. 15 years earlier, it was the Ugandan people that had come to our family's rescue when we evacuated from Congo. We were refugees. We lost everything we owned except our car and the clothes on our backs. And it was Ugandan people that gave us shelter and food and clothing and got us going again. I had to go back. I had to put my faith into action, and I did. I bought a bunch of tools and went to Kampala. Turns out I was only one of 11 white guys in the country. And it was tough. We landed in Entebbe and soldiers and guns everywhere. The terminal building had been shot up. There was a 707 on the ramp. The engine was laying under the wing, and it was bullet holes everywhere. My tools had been confiscated. I was there with just a small suitcase by myself. And I worked to restore hospital functions. And on Sundays, I would go to the top of the hill where there was a big cathedral, Imbarambi Chapel. And I listened to the bishop talking about forgiveness, forgiving the people that had murdered so many people in that church. I heard him talking about forgiving the past and looking forward to the future and thanking God and developing an attitude of gratitude. And I just couldn't believe this was real. And I couldn't believe that I could ever forgive like that, especially when nobody was sorry. That night over San Antonio and that experience in Uganda changed my life. And I pledged to try to do the right things and to try to do them right with integrity and excellence and service. But it was hard. And God has to keep coming back at me. I learned also that sometimes we don't get to affect our dash. I had a situation when I was the ambassador where people lied about me, false allegations, and I ended up losing my job. And I learned how to forgive when people aren't sorry, just like the Ugandan people did. And this morning, I hope that you will spend some time thinking about that dash, about the significance that you're making. And like Nehemiah, you are the ones that put eternal priorities into your vocation. You are the ones that do things every day to make your dash significant. And I wouldn't want to relive that 30 seconds over San Antonio where a miracle happened that saved my life. I wouldn't like to relive that time in the Pentagon where 189 people had their dashes closed out at 9:36 in the morning. I wouldn't like to lose everything I owned again as a refugee. I wouldn't like to lose 19 people in a terrorist attack like I did over Dahran. I wouldn't want to lose my dream job when people weren't sorry and I had to forgive. But that's my dash. And those are the things that God used to bring me back to trying to live a life that had eternal priorities, that had lasting significance, that left a legacy in that little dash. You alone determine your dash. You alone determine your legacy and the significance of your life. It's your life. It's your dash. Make it count. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Scott's written a book, and he sells these books, and the purpose of selling the book is to fund a charity that he is responsible for. So he'll be signing books at the First Timers table after we finish. But please consider the book. He told us long ago that he'd written the book. I kind of went, okay, I'll go look at the book. It's a fascinating book. I can't believe this guy and the things that he's done and the effect that his work and his voice has had to not only this continent, but others. You know, one of the things he doesn't tell you, and you'll find out over time, he's still working over there. He keeps going back to try to help people over in the dark continent. He hasn't given up because of all of the things that have happened to him. He's still, as you put it, making that dash count. My takeaway today is, what's about my dash? What am I doing? So again, Scott, thank you very much. Okay, guys, let's break up into the tables, and I'll see you online if you can't make it here. We'll be there. You guys online, thanks. You all take care of each other. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Awesome. Table captains, the floor is yours.